In France, you have a long history of violence against foreign immigrants. That would be the way that they would describe them, going right back to before the French Revolution. And what I think is very unique almost to France is the fact that during the Algerian War of Independence, between 1954 and 62, there were large numbers of Algerians actually living and working in France. These people became the target of racist violence. There was violence from the police, who saw it as very important to discipline the Algerian population and to keep them, you know, sort of running. But at the same time, there were also, given that there was war, there was violence from the extreme right, but also from French people living in France. Probably the biggest event that took place during that time was in 1961, when on the 17th of October, there was a big demonstration of the National Liberation Front, which is a big peaceful demonstration to protest against the curfews, which stopped Algerians, or anyone who looked like Algerians, from moving around in France after 8 o'clock. The Parisian prefect of police, Maurice Papon, actually ordered the police to disperse the demonstration using force. And this is extraordinary. It's very difficult to believe this, but about 200 people were killed at that time in the middle of Paris, and about 20,000 people were detained and then deported to Algeria. So many, many families were left not knowing where their people had gone to. That gives one an indication of a very, very high level of very brutal violence using firearms and killing by the state, which I think is very significant. And in a sense, that legitimised a whole set of actions against Algerians at that time, which actually since 1962, at the ending of the war, the giving of independence to Algeria, those things have continued with the Algerians living in France today.
It's now more than 30 years on from those events. What's happening now in France, and how are people responding?
Well, I think that one has, again, different levels of violence going on. I think that's really important. There is violence from the state, and there is also violence at a very day-to-day level. So it's something that goes throughout society. From the state, you have, for example, the recent killing of one of the people, Kemal, who was supposed to be one of the leaders of the fundamentalist group who was perpetuating terrorism in France. Now, I think Kemal's killing, which took place earlier in the autumn of 1995, is actually really interesting, because what happened was that it was a very highly publicised killing. It was recorded on television and broadcast on television. It was quite clear that the police were not just shooting to disable him, but shooting to kill him. And there were many bullets put in his body. But not only that, but Kemal was someone who was a fairly reasonable representative of a lot of youth living in the suburbs, in this case particularly the suburbs of Lyon. And he represented the kind of disaffected youth without any hope. You know, something like 36% of youth who are of foreign origin are unemployed at the moment in France. That compares to about 21% in white French origins. And I think what is very worrying about the present situation is that it brings together all the fears which date back to the Algerian War, the fears of Islam, which is, again, in France, a particular kind of fear. And it also brings it together with a fear of unruly, dangerous youth who, for example, often you find that joyriding ends not in a crash, which often happens in this country, but in the police shooting dead the driver. So it's that sort of different use of firearms, different availability of firearms, which actually makes the level of violence much more acute and much more volatile in France.
As a result of these circumstances, Cathy Lloyd identifies a particular type of incident which appears to be increasingly common and which arises in everyday situations.
I think what tends to happen for ordinary people is that you tend to get violence which comes out of the general pressures of living together in difficult situations. One of the big patterns in France tends to be a neighbour who just can't bear noise anymore, instead of dealing with it in a reasonable way and perhaps going to the authorities, takes it upon himself to lean out of the window and shoot at people. And I think that's one of the really big differences between Britain and France, is the fact that many, many people have firearms, hunting guns, anything like that. And so there have been a number of killings of very young kids, you know, 12, 13, even younger than that, in just purely opportunistic killings. I think it's racial in the sense that it's tied in with a whole set of racial signifiers, almost. I think what tends to happen is that the youths are frequently, almost invariably, of North African origin. Those are the ones who are seen as being the people who caused the trouble. In a sense, they are the more visible perpetuators. I think also it ties in with a colonial discourse, which is connected with Algeria. When Algeria was a colony, what the French colonialists tended to do if Algerians stepped over the threshold of behaviour in terms of delinquency was to shoot them. I mean, you killed people who committed crimes. And I think that this kind of thing has been internalised in the French psyche, so that these kind of absolutely over-the-top, disproportionate punishments are seen as the sort of thing that you do to people like that. So I think it's racialised in the sense that a particular response is made to a particular group, which wouldn't be made to another kind of group.
How have the communities under attack and threat of attack responded to their situation?
If we're talking about the situation in the 1990s and 80s, you have, for example, quite an important mobilisation among ethnic minority youth in the communities against police and local people perpetuating violence against them. And whereas in around 1981, coinciding with the riots that took place here, you'd had riots in France. You had what was called the long hot summer of 1981. You also had an attempt by youth on one housing estate just outside Lyon to actually break what they saw as the spiral of violence. And this they did by organising a big march which went right across France. It was led by this organisation called SOS Minguette. Minguette was the name of the estate where they came from. And basically what the idea of the march was to, it was a bit like the sort of civil rights march in America in the 1950s and 60s, was to bring the experience of suburban youth to the French population as a whole. And as this march, it took about a month to reach Paris. It started off, it went from Lyon to Marseille, and then from Marseille right up to Paris. They held meetings on the way, and mobilisations took place, and associations were founded as a result of this. And as they reached Paris, more and more media attention grew. And so it became, there were 100,000 people on the streets of Paris when they arrived in December 1983. And they had a big meeting at the Élysée Paris with President Mitterrand. In a sense, the 1983 march managed to get the issue onto the agenda. People became familiar with the issues. But very little happened. I suppose the main result was to encourage the governments to keep collecting statistics on racial incidents. Their definition of a racial incident would be either a killing or a very, very serious incident when someone is very seriously injured, or, and these are kept with rather more detail and precision, anti-Semitic incidents. In particular, things like daubings, graffiti, attacks on synagogues and cemeteries, like the very famous May 1990 attack on the cemetery at Carpentras. And in a sense, that was important for its symbolic significance more than anything else, the desecration of the grave, the desecration of all the dead.
Cathy Lloyd sees the issue of racial violence in France as being directly linked to the question of human rights in a way that is quite different to how the problem is understood in Britain. This has important implications for how anti-racists present their case.
One of the things that France prides itself on is being the home of the Declaration of Human Rights going back to 1789, and anti-racists ceaselessly repeat this. Another important thing is that immigrants in France have the right to become citizens. It's relatively easy, compared with other European countries, to become naturalised and become a French citizen. So the French claim is that they are an anti-racist country because everyone can become French and all French are considered equal. Now, I think if we look at this question of equality, the young people who were marching in 1983 for equality and against racial violence pointed out that if they are constantly being threatened with racial violence, how can they be seen as being equal? In a sense, when one thinks about an equal citizen, For example, a citizen is someone who ought to be free to go about their business without fear of being attacked because of who they are, whether it's a woman, whether it's an Algerian, whatever. In a sense, the fact that people are not free to go about their business, occupy the public space, even live in their own homes without fear of being attacked, is actually a fundamental attack on their equal human rights. And that's something which I think the French are very well equipped to understand, that whole area.
Cathy Lloyd.